Remarks on our program today from River Houston, a recognized sex columnist and advocate for women health issues. She spoke at a conference on women issues on the topic, how women feel about their bodies. This conference was held at Arkansas State University. This is part one of a two-part series.
But imagine your own self being scrutinized so deeply. Like, you know what you, a lot of us, when we look in the mirror, the things that we say to ourselves, right? Fat pig die, whatever it is. We have better days where it's just like, oh, God. But, you know, those really, really bad days when you just really give it to yourself. Now, imagine reading that headline. You get the paper and it says, or you see John Goodman doing an imitation of you. How difficult. Just take that in for a moment. Actually, I changed the name of this show, and next year it's going to be called It's None of My Business What Oprah Weighs. And the reason that I did that, I have collected now almost 100 Inquirer, you know, or National Enquirer, The World, whatever those tabloids that comment on Oprah's weight and how it has become almost a pastime. Now she's leveled off, so they're getting less and less. they're claiming she's gay, I think. But the point of it being is that what upsets me most about this whole topic is that I believe that we have so much to offer the world. Now, I had a wonderful ride down with a young fella, and I forgot your name, Grover. No. Guy. And we had a talk because, you know, and I'm really so glad to see so many guys here tonight. And I want to... She's laughing. So many fellas here tonight, because I think that they also face different kinds of pressure, but the same thing. We're all inundated with images. We're inundated constantly with information of who we should be and not affirmed of who we are. And my whole rationale for all of that, you know, it's not some malicious those people or something. There's no one out there, I think, to get women, you know, to put them down like, oh, those terrible women. It's just, it's a marketing ploy. That's all it is. If you feel bad about yourself, what do you do? What do? You look on the outside to fix it. Rarely do we go on the inside, where all the answers are, by the way. We always look on the outside, and that could be a million different things. That could be food. That could be a car. That could be the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the job. Whatever it is, it's on the outside that we're looking. But what's so marvelous to advertisers is that usually it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you good. The more dissatisfied you are, the more money you are going to spend. Isn't that correct? Right? I mean, just even think in your lifetime now, that outfit would do it. Or that diet, or that program, or whatever it is that I'm going to spend because it's going to make me a better person. One of the other reasons I changed my show to It's None of My Business What Oprah Weighs, I don't know if any of you have ever read her book, Making the Connection. Anyone here ever read her book? Read her book? Now, you remember in the intro, this is what was so amazing to me, and what is so amazing to me as I've met powerful women and have met women who have been in the glare of the media and have been picked apart as far as what they looked like in their body. When Oprah was nominated for an Emmy for her show, she sat in the audience and was praying that she wouldn't get it because she didn't want to get up and have the cameras look at her butt. She felt the skirt she was wearing made her thighs too big. You know, that is such a sad, sad statement. But we, you know, I always think to myself, and I've been thinking to myself about this for many years, what's it going to take to change it? What is it going to take for it to be different? And the first part about it is it's going to take each individual person on their own journey to go within themselves and say, enough, this is enough, this is not where I want to be, and I don't want to participate in this anymore. But it also takes kind of a revolution. One of my favorite magazines that came out, it's just a teeny little drop in the bucket, because I always just wanted a magazine that would say celebrate your cellulite as one of their things. But it's called Mode Magazine. Has anyone here seen Mode Magazine? I mean, is that fabulous? You know, but after a while of even reading Mode, I think they're too skinny. You know, it's like Mode magazine uses models 12 to 16, but occasionally a little bit higher, 18 or 20, size 20. And what kills me is that they call them big size models. They're not big size models. They're the average American woman. And I look at them, but I also see that they're still doing the same ploy of let's look on the outside to fix what's going on the inside. I'm going to do a little bit of a slide presentation. I know I put that little clicker thing somewhere, but my friend Sean's going to help me, right? Oh, there, I put it over here. And then we'll tell some stories. And then most of you know about the surprise, but for those of you who don't, there's a surprise. Now, images like these, and if you guys, if I'm standing right in front of you, you get annoyed, you can go somewhere else. But no, I mean, you know, because I made you come here. I thought I was going to be sitting here and we'd have a little round table thing. Okay. But anyway, images like these, I'll stand over here. We see this stuff all the time and we kind of think of that as normal. And we almost think, you know, these are magazines geared towards women basically in their teens and their 20s. And these women, these aren't really women. These are teenagers. We're looking at children still. Images like this we become so used to that we take this as being the norm instead of this is a woman who is very hungry. And she's very unhappy too. She's starving. She's like, these two, they don't look like happy people to me. I know I'm making fun, but if you are thin here tonight, I'm not here to make fun of, because thin is just as well. It's about loving. And I have actually a story why I showed these pictures. I have a story to tell about those images. Part of my story is that you changed it. I know I was going to make a comment about it. You said I'm a recovered starboard binger. I'm a recovering. And you thought I made a mistake there, right? But the thing about it, it's a constant process because these images will come at us at all for all our life. It's a process of staying in recovery. And one of the things I didn't realize at the time, but when I was in deep into that, every month, I ate for 15 days on, 15 days off. So I starved 15 days out of every month. And it was pretty, you know, that's just, I took it as, that's how I did it. I was a fitness trainer. I had a Reebok body. It looked great, but it was not perfect enough. I could still find flaws with it pretty easily. And that was the only way I could stay slim. But I was never, I'll always be round. That is my shape. And I was always dissatisfied. I always wanted kind of a shape like that. But one of the things that I got involved with was I became a consultant to these magazines, these horrible, I have to say, I don't care. I find them just to be just horrible magazines, Glamour, Mademoiselle. Unless you're able to be objective when you look at them, they're only there to make us feel bad. And I would go on these shoots. Those shoots where every single month, every single magazine will tell you that you have a body part that is all wrong, right? It's your those things, it's this thing, it's the breasts, it's the belly, it's all these things that we're going to fix up. And I was the person who would go there on the shoot, put the model in the correct weird position to do the exercise, and then write the little caption underneath. You know those things. Have you done them? Has everyone done them? Gotten on the floor? Okay. Do 5,000, whatever. Anyway. And it was amazing to me to see these women. These women will be sitting around, and they don't look really like that at all. They don't look like that. They are very thin. Their thighs have never met. Hi, how are you? No, they haven't. Their thighs are about the size of my forearm. You can see the veins in their thighs. It's not very attractive. You can, unless they're really young still. Once the women get older, then they really have to start to starve to stay a certain weight, almost all of them. You can see every single bone in her chest. You can't see it here because it's airbrushed out. You can see her collarbone sticking out. The only thing that they used, most of them really had was great hair, just naturally, just great hair. And what we would do is we would put the models into the position to take the photographs. And then we would do Polaroids before they would actually do the shooting. And I remember the first time that I went there and I looked at a Polaroid. And I looked at the woman, and this is not even with airbrushing. This is just looking. It was an illusion. And once they get it into, you know, the editor's office, everything is airbrushed out. So I know that you might know this intellectually. I just want you to somehow to remember next time you look, don't compare yourself to an illusion. That we see there doesn't exist in reality. And when I saw these women in person, first of all, they were not happy. They were very hungry. I mean, there'd be plates of food, you know, but if I was on, hopefully it was on my 15 days of eating because I'd eat it. It's like they were not happy with their bodies either. They weren't happy with their bodies. And worst of all, in this profession in particular, I mean, like, if someone just came up to you and said, oh, your thighs are just not right, or your butt, forget it, her butt's too big, get her out of here. That's what they live with. And I remember this one woman saying to me, kind of grabbing where her stomach would be, and say, I need to get rid of this. And I'd be like, well, we could remove your internal organs. And she's like, oh, I'll think about it. it's like, because it's all a job, and these women will lose weight, or they'll be really young, and they'll be have no body whatsoever. And you remember the voluptuous stage in the 80s? That was just silicone. That had nothing to do with anything else but blow up breasts. And it was really, it was kind of ridiculous, the whole thing that I got involved with. Being a fitness trainer, I'm going to just go back, make one more comment. Being a fitness trainer was an amazing thing for me to do, because I found out that the whole world of being obsessed like that. Have you ever gone, you ever go to the aerobics class, you see that woman in front that you hate, that bitch, right? The thing about it is that most of those people in that field, now if you're in that field, that, you know, you might still be have a healthy frame of mind, but most people, it's such an obsession, and it's such an unhealthy thing. It's not about health. It's not nurturing. It's not about getting, a good cardiovascular system. It was all about competition. Do you walk in a room and immediately compare yourself on the Richter scale of fat? Do you decide where you stand? Do you look at other women and decide, and that's how you feel about yourself that day? And that was what it was all about. It was a really sad job to be in, to tell you the truth. Oh, here we go. We're always told that we don't have, there's always that promise. There's always that promise that there's a whole new you waiting. The reality is that you have everything you need. But you've seen this before, 21 days to all new you. How many times is it? 30 pounds in 30 days. It's always out there just kind of promising. Every single diet that promises you happiness. These are one of those magazines. Get a brand new butt. Now, when I would look at these headlines and things like that, you think that after a while that you would become, that you're aware. Even if you are not aware or you think that it's funny, if you see this so much, like I was saying on the way over here, one of the ways, and I'll talk to about it more in depth, that I believe is not to buy these magazines, not to look at them, not to watch TV, to give yourself just a mental break from all the images that are poured into our lives, and to kind of go within ourselves and find what you need within yourself. But these things come to us on all different levels. And I was reading this ad, I forget, it was on the airplane and something like that. And all of a sudden, I don't know where it came from, but it was like a jingle came to me. And so I'm wondering, I don't even remember ever seeing this product. It was like Trudeau, now I can't even remember. But it was like, it was about watches. And all of a sudden, this jingle came into my mind. And it's like, it's pervasive. It's in a way that we don't even know. I remember when I realized how hardwired I was to feeling and thinking the way I do about my body, I just remember crying and sobbing that I, even though that I was conscious of it, that it was still, there were so many layers of it. So that's, I think it's really important that we need to put these kind of things down. And there we go, whole body image rehab. And then on the other side of that, on the other side of given these images that our bodies aren't good enough and all that kind of stuff, we're given the answer, right? The answer is in food, isn't it? You'll feel so much better if you eat. And we have all these kinds of ads, I decided to nurse my wounds with smoked turkey on a crusty sourdough, lavish with Miracle Whip, a couple of bites into it, and suddenly a night in solitary didn't feel so bad. And how many times have you thought about, I've had enough, getting in bed with just like a bag of Oreos or the ice cream. And you see it in the movies, you see it in on sitcoms all the time. Like, you remember Fran Drescher? What was that, with the nanny? Constantly, going for the food. And the reason that I talk about this, I think it's really important, because when you eat like that, when you eat to, okay, once in a while, it's okay. I'm not going to say, to be like a monk and just, deal with everything. But if you use food to deal with feelings, if you eat in a way that helps you to deal with whatever you're going through, you're never going to go through it. You're not going to deal with it. You're going to stuff your feelings, and that's what it is. It's about stuffing feelings. Those feelings will come up in another way, in another place, and you still have to deal with them. So I think that it's really, just to be aware that these are the other images on the other side of it. The more that you eat, the more unhappy that, you're going to be. It's like passing gratification. It's not a lasting thing. It's like a drug. It's also seen, food is also seen too in the same frame that we used to see sex. You remember sex was, you were sinful, you were bad. You know, in the 50s it was like, you were a bad girl. Now if you eat chocolate, I was bad today. It was sinfully good. I mean, you use the same kind of words as sex, and there's a sexual appetite, and our same with food, our appetite. And what is the healthy way to look at it? The healthy way to look at it is to see, what is it that I want, and what is it to desire, and what am I feeling? It's almost like, I know that it sounds kind of strange, but it's like, it's re-examining how we are feeling and how we are dealing with the things that go into our mouth and into our mind. And these are, this was an interesting thing to me when I was getting more into this, was that in the, it was, you remember in like in the 50s, the dress sizes were about, the 14 was about average. I remember seeing a Lucille Ball episode just a little while ago. I do watch TV when I'm in hotel rooms. And I remember this episode. Does anybody remember the episode where she has to get into the size 14 and it freaks her out? Like 14, oh my God. Like that's like, today that's like a size 2. But I mean, it's not that the dress size changed, it's the mentality has changed. It's like, it was okay to be curvaceous, it was okay to be womanly, but it was about the same time that we went into the workplace, about the same time that women started to become liberated, like in the 60s, that's when Weight Watchers came into being. That's when all these different commercials and for losing weight and Twiggy and all that kind of thing came into being. So it was just like, when women started to gain power, that there was another way to take the power away. They became a market. They became someone to look at. How can we, you know, divert them from whatever their goals are being? And again, like, I don't think of it as a malicious power, like someone who, you know, the advertisers are out to get women. They just see an opportunity there. And I put this slide in to show kind of where, how far we've gone with it. In a lot of ways, it's almost like making women into children, taking away hips, taking away breasts, or, well, unless they're blow-up ones, but taking away our curves, you know, and putting into silly outfits. You'd never see a guy, like, in a tutu, usually. And I love the magazines like Cosmo who do things on eating disorders and then have it surrounded with the ads that we've been seeing. And, yeah, we talk about 48% of women feel wholesale displeasure with their looks. Experts try to understand why body image and self-esteem are at all-time low. It's like, duh. You know, like, I just have no comment for that. You know? And I love these things. Here's your trouble spots, right? And like, this is a normal-looking woman. I don't see, actually, for me, that I don't see a trouble spot there. I don't see a problem there. But we look at women like that as that's when they put, you know, the other sides that we showed in the beginning, those were normal. So what happens is that our perception of beauty is being defined for us. We're being told what is beautiful, and we're being told what doesn't work. Here's another one with a trouble spot. I mean, a beautiful woman, and this is what we're told has troubles. And there's Marnie with her trouble spot. I don't really know what the trouble spots are, but this was, the whole article was based on that, you know, taking normal-sized women and saying that they aren't okay. Serenity and slimness, right? If we could just get small enough, if we could just lose that weight. One of the things that I, these ads, because I know that it's our culture, it's our whole society, is this belief. I mean, I have rarely met a woman who has never uttered the words, I just need to lose 5 more pounds, you know? And it goes further than just, like you were talking about college-age students. We're talking about kindergarten. We're talking about first grade kids uttering, girls in particular, uttering that they need to go on diets, thinking about calorie counts, wondering about size and things like that. So it's very pervasive, our belief in serenity and slimness. And then things like this. This really cracks me up because it's like how to look slimmer in bed. If you are trying to pull your stomach in, when you're in certain positions, you're just not going to have any fun whatsoever. And you know what? I have to tell you that for the guys, right, just you can nod do you care? I mean, are you like, oh, honey, could you try and look a little slimmer for me in bed? Because they're talking about positions here. They're not talking about losing weight. They're like talking about, okay, if I get into this position, you know, like my girlfriend, I remember we used to have this joke of how to look slimmer on the beach. You know, it's like to stay perfectly still, you know, and not move because things move. But I find, you know, sex is so wonderful. I mean, I don't know if they've mentioned this to you yet in life, because usually when we talk about sex, we're always talking about diseases and things like that, right? It's horrible. I mean, you go into a sex ed class, you get that book, health education, whatever. It's like, what do you turn to first? The herpes page. Ah! You know, it's like it's this blow-up page of all these, like, diseases. And it's like, and we're taught about the disease. I mean, it'd be great if you did get something great from sex, like creative writing skills, but it's just not happening. What you do get from sex is pleasure, okay? You can procreate too, and I don't mean to offend, but I'm talking about being comfortable with your sexuality. It's so deeply connected to this body, right? If you don't like your butt, how are you gonna have someone else like it? Oh, I hate my butt. Is it fat? But will you kiss it? If you don't like your body, and you're afraid of it, we are afraid of our bodies. We are terrified because we don't talk about it, and we don't get to see parts of our bodies much, right? I mean, we just talk about down there. It's down there, and I don't want to know anything about it. And they have products to make us feel bad about it, right? And so that we're not really connected to our bodies, we're not connected to there, and we're not connected, and so that's a part of our hiding. And a lot of the things that happen around sex is the fact that we are shamed. I mean, I call it sexual wounding. And on one side, we are so focused on what we should like. Like, I always think, like, would you rather have sex with, say, the first model, like, who would hide under the covers and still think that she had some kind of fat going on there somewhere and have all the lights off and just be really uptight but be the prototypical whatever ideal of beauty? Or would you rather have sex, say, with, like, where is she? Where's Marnie? You know, Marnie, with the lights on. Whee! You know what I mean? It's all about attitude. And if we don't feel good about our bodies, we're not going to feel good about our sexuality. It just is too connected to the same thing. And I think that if we miss out on that, we miss out on a huge part of our lives. And again, we're given two different messages. We're given this message of disease, of shame, of abstinence, and all those things kind of wrapped up together. I mean, I'm not putting down abstinence because I'm going to talk about that a little later in my own story, but it's wrapped up with shame and fear of diseases and all this kind of stuff. And on the other side of it, we have MTV, you know, back your that butt up and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's really important to realize how connected that is and to work on healing in that area. I'm just going to do a few more slides and I'm going to do my story a little bit. This is just all a part of what we do to ourselves, right? It's like we look at ourselves in bits and pieces. And so that's what the advertisers do, too. They focus on, oh, it's my butt, it's my breast. We never seen as a whole woman. And then it's not just about looks. It's also about we're not allowed to grow old here. And I think that that's when we become true goddesses. I mean, you could be mini goddess, and then, like, as you get older, one of the things in my journey was seeing, changing my perception of what aging really was about. Aging is like, I mean, if you really want to enjoy sex, just get a little older. Head to toe hair removal. Here they use a great artist, you know, Frida Kahlo, a wonderful artist, to talk about hair removal. And I don't know if anyone in this room has ever done this. I know I have. You know, you walk into the salon and say, but it should be. It hurts just about as much, you know what I mean? What were they thinking? You know, I mean, it's insane. It's insane the things that we go through for supposed beauty. And then, of course, it never works. A plucked chicken has nicer skin than just waxed thighs. I mean, this whole concept that this is what we need somehow, to be repaired, to be fit. And then you can see how happy she is to just grin and bear it. The end product, which I find so amazing and absolutely kind of ridiculous, that we actually take healthy, normal women and they go and have their flesh cut open and things implanted, fat sucked out, and they actually put themselves at risk. Women die from these procedures, and it's not talked about enough. It's almost common. I mean, and it's getting younger and younger women are going for these procedures, and I find this to be the ultimate insanity. I remember one of the reasons I have this slide. When I was a fitness trainer, I was right at the end of being a fitness trainer when I kind of retired, was when Step came out. And this was a poster that I got for my Step class. And I remember when I got this poster, I thought, how could they have someone like her? I mean, I thought she wasn't in shape. Can you believe that? I thought she was way overweight and not in shape. Now I look at that and I think, wow, that's an amazing body. What a difference in perception.
River Houston, an advocate for women health issues. She spoke on the topic, how women feel about their bodies. This was part one of a two-part series. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.